The Defense Department has teamed up with the National Collegiate Athletic Association to study the effects of concussions on service members and student athletes. The project is run by a group of investigators dubbed the Concussion Assessment, Research, and Education, or CARE, Consortium. Steve Broglio is an associate professor of kinesiology at the University of Michigan and director of the Neurotrauma Research Lab, one of the consortium's three research branches. He tells Federal News Radio's Matt Wingfield more about the consortium.
So the CARE Consortium started about two and a half years ago, when Brian Hainline from the NTA and Dallas Hack from the Department of Defense brought a group of researchers together in Washington, D.C. to really outline what would be the best way to define the natural history of concussion as well as the long-term effects of the injury. So over the next 6 months following that meeting, different groups put together applications, and myself, I partnered with Mike McRae from the Medical College of Wisconsin and Tom McAllister from the Indiana University School of Medicine, and our application or our view of it was to carry out a large multi-site study with 30 schools from across the country, evaluating both clinical prognosis following injury as well as doing more advanced imaging, blood draws, helmet impact sensors in collegiate athletes. So that using that format, we feel that we're going to be able to define the natural history of concussion, so what happens in the first, let's say, 14 to 30 days following injury, as well as build a database of contact information for all these athletes, up to 30,000 athletes we're expecting, so we can track them over the next 30 to 40 years and define what happens longitudinally as they age and go on into later life.
So what's the procedure for studying this? I'm assuming you don't grab people off the street and then give them a concussion, obviously.
No. Well, no. The IRB gets very upset when we do that. So we, at each of these institutions and the four military academies, we enroll every varsity student athlete that's on campus, or they're all eligible, I should say, to participate. At the academies, it's actually every cadet that's on campus. So at West Point and Air Force, for example, there's like about 4,000 or about 4,400 cadets that are eligible to participate. Every one of those individuals receives a preseason baseline examination, and that includes a pretty extensive demographics questionnaire that takes about 20 or 25 minutes. There's a computer-based neurocognitive evaluation that takes another 20 minutes, and then we do a measure of balance, and we do some symptom reports and that sort of thing. Once, if the athlete sustains a concussion, whether it's through sport participation, so traditional injuries that occur in wrestling and football and hockey, or if it's a cadet that gets it during maybe boxing class or some sort of basic training, you know, maneuver, that sort of thing, then they are evaluated at five time points post-injury. So we get a very detailed evaluation of how that athlete progresses, and it's based on clinical time points. It's not fixed time points, so we can actually pinpoint the day at which they recover post-injury.
So what have you learned so far? I know it's still early, but are there any initial findings?
You know, it is very early, and we're actually just now starting to delve into the data that we collected in year one. I can tell you that as of yesterday, I think we were at about 15,000 individuals that had been enrolled in the study, and we had captured about 400 concussions. So there is a treasure trove of data. It actually looks as though the average time to recovery or return to sport is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10 to 14 days. Those with a history of concussion, two, three previous injuries prior to the one they're currently experiencing, tend to take a little bit longer. I don't want to throw any numbers out because it's still kind of early in our evaluation process. But so we're starting to really be able to piece apart some of the things or some of the questions that people have asked really over the last decade, the last two decades, where they haven't had a big enough sample size to really ask the nuanced questions as to kind of what influences injury recovery, well, injury risk and then injury recovery.
We're speaking with Steve Broglio. He's an associate professor of kinesiology at the University of Michigan and director of the Neurotrauma Research Lab. In terms of basically research that DOD is looking for, how does this apply to them? I imagine it's different than what the athletes themselves want, because I was reading that people in the armed services tend to sustain similar type injuries to football players. So I guess, what does DOD hope to accomplish with all of this?
Sure. So, I mean, the DOD views their cadets, their soldiers, the same as the NTA views their athletes. They're young, you know, 18 to 22 years old. They're highly motivated to do very well in their chosen fields, and they're going to push themselves to the edge of excellence. So they view them very similarly. And there's some really good data to show that I believe it's about 85 to 95% of concussions that occur in DOD personnel are non-combat related. So while the blast injury is the signature injury of our most current war, it's not the most frequent. And trying to understand how those injuries influence individuals both now. So, you know, individual has an injury, can they be deployed or can they go on a certain mission? Can they do that now or do we need to wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks? And then also, obviously, once they're done with their service, what's going to happen to them 30 years from now? And what is this something we need to address when they're 25, 30 years old and that corrects that pattern? Or is this, or does nothing happen and it's okay and we can just kind of let them go back into civilian life and do the things they're going to do? So I think there's a number of questions that parallel both areas, both the NCAA and the DOD, that we just don't have answers to at this point. But yet they require a lot of attention and we need to know what's going on.
So what is the most common cause of concussions among people in the armed services? If it's not blast related, then what is it?
I think it's a good question. I don't know the exact details, but is the mechanisms are, it's personal training or it's related to kind of motor vehicular accidents. But it's not the blast wave type of injury. It's more of a blunt force trauma. That's where the similarity is, right? So football athletes don't have to deal with IEDs. It's more blunt force trauma on the field.
Are there any proven ways to mitigate the effects of concussions? Obviously, don't get concussed, but is there anything else?
I think that the helmet technology and the contact collision sports are getting a lot better. The original helmets were never designed to reduce or prevent concussions. They were designed to prevent catastrophic head injury, so skull fractures and brain bleeds and that sort of thing, and they do a very good job at that. But the newer helmets that are coming out are getting better at mitigating concussion. They are, we'll never have a 100% concussion-proof helmet, but we're going to get better for sure. And I think some of that technology can be carried over into DOD helmets, combat helmets, and, we can make improvements. There's definitely room for improvement there. So it can be done. It's just, it takes time to identify the mechanics of it, and then what are the materials that can stop those forces or mitigate those forces, and then it has to be tested, and, that's a long process.
What are the effects of concussions then? Because obviously everybody knows, especially with football and everything else, that repeated concussions are dangerous, but what are the effects, and is it even just one concussion is bad news?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we really want to answer. So in addition to this annual baseline test that we're doing with individuals, under I guess normal models, people would do it one time when the athlete enters college, and then that's probably the last time that they'll do a baseline evaluation, unless they have an injury. But under our model, we're getting them every year. So what that allows us to do in a sport like, let's say, football, where you may have repeated head exposure, head contacts through a football season, you may not have a concussion. But there's question now as to whether or not that has an influence on cognitive functioning and motor performance. So that annual baseline that we're giving, we'll be able to parcel out those individuals that participated in football last year but had no concussion, and do their baseline scores change from year to year. And then in the portion of the study that Mike McCray is running, he's using sensors embedded within the helmets that will actually be able to say this football athlete sustained, 752 impacts last year, and the guy next to him had 831 impacts. So we'll actually be able to track the number of impacts they're taking, the magnitude of those impacts, and then if that has any influence on cognitive performance from year to year. So, those are kind of different things that we're looking at. And then once these individuals leave school, our plan or our hope is that we'll be able to track them through a brief questionnaire on an annual basis, and then maybe more in-depth analysis, bring them onto a campus and do imaging or blood draws or detailed cognitive assessments about every 5 years, and then track them across their lifespan.
So what's the ultimate end goal of this study?
We're trying to understand both the natural history, so what happens in the first, let's say, 10 to 14 days, to really define it and break it out by different groups. So the first would be, does a female athlete participating in ice hockey have a different recovery pattern than a female athlete that's a cross-country runner, let's say? Or a male football player from one socioeconomic background have a different recovery pattern than another football player from a different socioeconomic background? That's the first arm of it. The second arm is just long-term effects. So athlete X has a concussion, maybe two concussions during their career in college. What happens to them 30 years from now? Is this something that we really need to be worried about, or, you know, are there things that we need to address, and are those things addressable as that individual ages?